With me today is Marty Ozinga, chairman of Ozinga Brothers, a company that has over 2,000 employees. And he has built that company over the last four decades. And we're going to talk today about vision, because if you're going to take a company that the Lord gave you in when he was 23, 100 and some employees, and now 2,000 employees, there's no question. There's an issue with vision that operates. So how would you define vision?
Well, it seems to me that the vision that God puts in one's mind is a combination of the work of the Holy Spirit in someone's heart, as well as the engagement of the life's experiences and the education that one has benefited from. And it starts with a sense of, I would say, optimism, in the sense of, you know, the old story about the glass of water is half full or
right,
half empty.
Right.
And vision that's optimistic is the guy that sees the glass is half full. It's not half empty. It's half full. We're halfway there, and we can fill it the rest of the way. Okay. So an optimistic spirit and an optimistic view, then that combines with opportunity and skills that God has created and blessed you with. And the whole sense that with God's help, you can expect to pursue goals, to be somewhat of an entrepreneur, whether you're talking in the context of business or education or church or even family. I can't say for sure I had a vision of having six sons, but I did have a vision always of the more the merrier. I mean, as long as my wife can keep up with it and handle it, she has the harder job. And but I've always had this sense of optimism. We have these opportunities, we have these skills, and we have this time and this place, and let's see how far we can go and what God has got in mind for us, and let's just go for it. And I think that's something that gets instilled in us through a combination of all the experiences and education we've had, but it's mainly a condition also of the heart, the spirit, and the understanding that God is with us. And most people who are entrepreneurs who understand these things would say that they approach life with an expectant attitude. They actually think what they pursue is going to happen. They think that they have the knowledge or the skills or the energy or the whatever it takes to go for it, and that it's going to happen. And then God shows up, and it does happen. Because even when it happens, this idea that, well, it happened because I'm so smart, right, or because I'm so talented, or I work so hard, you realize, as you grow and mature and become wiser, that this happened because God wanted it to happen. Mm-hmm. And God's in control in the end and ultimately, and it goes the way He wants it to go. And when it goes well, it's because He wanted it to go well. And I refer to most of these successes in my life and most of the opportunities that have been realized as This is a demonstration of God's love and literally miracles taking place, which we maybe don't see at the moment in time. And sometimes we like to give ourselves the credit, but we know better. And the reality is it only happened because God showed up.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about this concept of vision, and one is that optimistic, God has a plan, I'm just going to be part of it. And also is the expectancy that somewhere, somehow, in providence, God showing up in a miracle, that that seed planted in your heart is going to have a result he wants. It might be a yes, no, or a maybe. How do you deal when it's a no?
Well, what's interesting is, you know, there's certain characteristics, and I think they're a blessing and a gift from God. You know, you remember the story of Joshua and they're going into the promised land, mm-hmm. and looking around, and it was a whole group of intelligent leaders that were selected to go do that.
Yes.
And the vast majority of them came back and said, forget it. We saw what we saw over there is overwhelming. We can't handle it. It's not going to happen. Forget it. And then Joshua, who is in a small minority,
yep, young Joshua with Caleb,
says,
friend,
we can do this. We can do this. You know why? Because God's on our side. Right. And this is going to be ours, and it's been promised to us, and we have to trust that.
Yeah.
Now, not everything in life, in business or in other aspects of life, always goes the way we thought it would go.
Right.
And sometimes it's disappointing, and sometimes it's very hard, sometimes it hurts. In my case, I've lost almost as much money as I've made. Thankfully, I'm a little ahead in the scorecard and still able to come and go and do what I like. But it's not all been a bed of roses and success after success after success. But the optimistic person gets knocked down. And there's a Bible verse for this. I think it's in 2 Corinthians. But it says, you're knocked down, but you're not defeated.
Right, that's right.
And an optimistic person says, okay, you knocked me down. I've learned some lessons from all of this. But then you brush yourself off, you get back up, and you say, and now we're going to do it again. We're going to be smarter this time, but we're going to go for it again.
Yeah.
And you go through your whole life doing that kind of stuff.
Right.
I've known Henry since
I
know Henry since he was a kid, and he's the same way. I mean, there's all kinds of Bible verses. There's all kinds of old sayings like, "If at first you don't succeed,
try again."
And you don't have to be a scholar to learn those or memorize those, but those are truisms. And they come from people who've experienced life. And to be an entrepreneur, to be successful, it takes vision, but it takes an optimistic person who understands that God is behind the whole thing, and mm-hmm. that the first point of any effort or energy expended is about honoring and glorifying God.
Yep.
And if that's your motive, then go for it.
So then resiliency, so really almost like a vision resiliency. So it's like, you know, you see the opportunities because this is God's beautiful creation, whether it's in ministry, whether it's product services, whatever. You trust that the Lord has a plan in His providence. You do it for His glory. A few side, you know, things happen. You know, some detours, but you're always moving forward, resilient. You know, if you need to forgive someone, do it. No sense in carrying a bitter grape. You know, things happen, right? Yep. A relationship falls apart. You know, when things don't. But you don't like dwell on that.
Nope.
How do you get out of when that happens? And many people, and I know many of you have written about this, that a failure came in your life and you hold a bitterness, and now that bitterness is holding you back. How do you get over this bitterness?
Well, I think again, it's a spiritual matter, and it's a condition of the heart. I mean, mm-hmm. I think God's pretty clear about the fact that, first of all, He loves us. Secondly, He loves us in spite of our failures and screw-ups. And He forgives us for that. He's also very clear about, how do you expect me, God, to forgive you if you won't forgive those who have sinned against you or hurt you? And He says that not because He's mad or wants to hold a grudge against you. He says that because that's His plan. That's His design for successful living. He's saying, don't hold grudges. Don't dwell on the past, and don't wallow in your difficulties, but rather forgive people who harmed you or hurt you, and allow me to fix the problem and correct the problem, because if you don't, you will be consumed by bitterness and anger. And that will tend to distract your thinking and your ability, maybe even harm your health physically and emotionally, and get you sidetracked from pursuing valuable and worthy things. And, you know, as human beings, we should be smart enough to learn these lessons. We should also be smart enough when God says this is how it works to listen to Him.
Yeah.
But we think we're smarter than He is sometimes.
Right.
And so we keep making mistakes. But this is God's plan for success.
Right.
Forgive those people and look to God for the next opportunity and for His blessing on it.
Well, and see, back to vision. The topic's on vision today. And we're talking about how, like, a negative can take away the vision, and often the negative is grounded in people. Mm-hmm. So bitterness is like a clear vision killer. You said something distracts you, takes the bandwidth away from, like, the positive. And I have seen, and we both have seen, many people who once had a beautiful vision, and it died in bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
So really forgive and move on.
Yep.
So now we're moving on, we have this vision, and so forth. And what is the biggest temptation that comes with success then? So we actually are moving, we're seeing it, you know, we're not holding grudges, we're being resilient. We're actually successful. So what could happen to us?
Well, it's extremely common because it happens a lot. Okay. Again, in our humanness, we have this inclination to sort of stray away from God's plan and follow our own. And it's called pride.
Okay.
And it's called a time when we start to think, we're so smart. In fact, we're so smart that we're just as smart as God is, or we're maybe even smarter than God is. And the pride of success starts to make us say and do things that are really pretty stupid sometimes. I mean, we think we can say whatever we want and get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or we think we can do whatever we want and get away with it. You know, no one would be so stupid to put a gun to their head and fully loaded and pull the trigger and think they could survive.
Right.
But in a proverbial sense, there are very successful people that do exactly that. They go
right.
And they start engaging in very destructive behavior, only because they think they're so successful and so special that they, unlike everybody else in the world,
right,
that
right.
they can get away with it.
Right.
I can drink and I can take drugs and I can
right.
I can do all sorts of things. And then they almost act surprised when they get sick or they lose their relationships and their respect gets lost and everything else. And And you'd say the guy, for a smart guy, he sure did some stupid things.
Right. And we know.
That's what happened.
We know. Long lists of successful people who had a vision, who are it got lost in, you know, sinful stupidity over things. Like, if you look at the one thing they lost it all on, in comparison to everything they've done, it's so small.
And it's rooted in pride, typically.
Yes.
Typically, it's because they, you know what it really is? They don't think they need God anymore.
Right.
I am in charge of my life,
right,
and I don't need God.
I'm in charge of my life. I'm in charge of my business. I'm in charge of my future. I don't need God.
Right.
So, as you know, again, think about this. A great vision. You think positive. You're resilient. You don't have bitterness. And right there, the devil comes and says, you don't need God. Ooh, is that like the Garden of Eden?
That's exactly right.
You know, it's like, did God really say, you know, that if you eat this, you know, don't you want to be like God? You know, it has that whole, like, place. So, really, this too, there's a spiritual aspect to vision.
Yep.
That comes very personal and very close to home. Do you find, Marty, that if you looked over the years, that that sense of vision can become a corporate reality? Do you feel that, I'm changing topics or subjects, it's on vision, but is there a way to get vision to even be in an organization where it's not just the vision of the founder, the businessman, the leaders, but it can actually, in some meaningful way, start coming into the culture of a company? Like, what do you guys do when new employees come or whatever? How does that work?
It is ingrained in the culture of the business, and the culture of the business, in a lot of ways, starts to take on a life of its own. It's not dependent on the leader or the founder or whatever. And now this is over time, and in our case, we actually have culture training or culture education in our company.
You mean Ozinga culture education?
Yes, we have.
Interesting.
We have a education crew that meets with all the new employees on a regular basis and talks about our core beliefs, our history, where we come from.
Do you even bring up the spiritual in there?
And we very much bring up the spiritual part of it. Because it's so rooted in our concept of serving God and serving others.
Mm-hmm.
And part of serving others is serving each other. And providing products and services for our customers and for the community. And as we do that and we achieve a measure of success and people discover that the workplace is a much more pleasant place to work when people care about each other, when people serve each other, people's motives are interested in helping the person next to them as well as helping the company overall, they develop a sense of loyalty. Without even being able to articulate it, they take on the beliefs and the culture that not so much that they hear, but that they see demonstrated in the day-to-day workplace.
Right.
And it pleases them, and it benefits them, and they want it to continue.
Right.
And so we find at this point in time that the momentum that was sort of started by me, the leader,
right,
gets communicated in a number of different ways and supported by success. But it starts to become a way of thinking for many people in the organization. And the result is there are good ideas and solutions to problems, and new methods and new ways of doing things that are better than ever before being brought forth by many, many people, not just one person or two people. And it has a compounding effect because anybody that contributes to the success of the business takes healthy pride
right.
in their accomplishment.
Right.
And they want to experience it again.
Right.
So they go back to the drawing boards of their mind and think right. of other ways that they can be contributing to the success of the business. And it compounds and compounds and compounds. And before you know it, now we have a couple thousand people, and many, many of them, they go home at night not just thinking about football or fishing or whatever else they like to do, but how they can contribute to the health and well-being of the company.
Wow. So it comes like this, an individual vision, then that individual is grounded in the Lord, the call, his calling in the business. It's grounded in forgiveness. It's grounded in like realizing the company belongs to God. And then it begins to spread so that, in a sense, the corporate group of people now have an optimistic view of the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they start thinking about problems to be solved, kingdom, or, you know, like mountains to be climbed, you know, new products and services.
Well, if you look at the opposite, if my philosophy and vision was, as I expressed it to my coworkers, I said, I own this company, and everything that happens here is for my benefit.
Right.
I get all the money.
Right.
I get all the glory. I get all the praise. So do a good job so I get all this stuff.
Right, right.
You know, most people are going to go, all right, you pay me to work till 4 o'clock, and then I'm going fishing, you know. And it's like, have fun with your life, but I got my own life to live. That's exactly the opposite of what we do.
Right.
And it's like, you know, this isn't about me or what I get out of it.
Right.
And it's not even about you or what you get out of it.
Right.
It's how we honor and glorify God, and then we're all blessed by yeah. doing yeah. our best.
Wow.
So it's a big, huge difference, and it's all spiritual.
Yeah. Oh. Do you hear that, everybody? That what you're doing here at CLI is not about learning some skills that you can go out there in the business world or in the ministry world. At the very core, it is ministry. It is spiritual. It is about your relationship with God. It is about you are created as an image bearer. It is about why are you on this earth. It's all grounded. And then all that grounding means that you get to help others be grounded that way too. So vision is not a concept on a whiteboard. What's the vision around here? It is a connection to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Wow.
Absolutely. It's pretty amazing. And then when you hear it and you realize it and you expect it to happen, and then when it does, you're blown away. You really are.
Thank you, Marty. Another amazing segment in enterprise and ministry, and this one on vision.